This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to our June episode of the Go Carlton Business Spotlight. Hard to believe we're at June already, which means, actually it means that the shortest day must be coming up, so it'll be lighter morning soon, which is a big bonus, particularly for people like me who like to get up early. I'm Josie Eskin from Spring Coaching, and with Go Carlton, your local business association, I am very proud to bring you this radio series. The Go Carlton Business Spotlight is aimed at highlighting our incredible people and businesses within Carlton. Each episode, we chat with one of our Go Carlton members to hear their story. We'll also share about what's coming up in our beautiful town so you're in the know about events, activities and opportunities to get involved. Now, because we want to keep this conversation as real as possible, my guest and I are actually sitting in one of our local cafes. We're here at Wild Oats upstairs, so if you hear any odd cafe sounds or maybe some slurping of coffee or anything like that, that's just to add to the ambience of the conversation. But hopefully you'll just enjoy being here with us today. So this month I have the great pleasure of being joined by one of Carlton's very cool creatives. Today I have Bev from Visual Industry with me. Now, if you haven't had the pleasure of meeting Bev before, Bev is half of Visual Industry, your local one-stop marketing shop. From business cards to bus wraps, websites to wearable merchandise, they can do it all. They're your go-to people for anything marketing related. So I'm going to hand over now to Bev to let her introduce herself to our listeners, and we'll go from there. Welcome, Bev.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
It's always a little bit.
Yeah, I'll get over my nerves and then the conversation will start to flow, but for now.
No need for any nerves. You're doing great. Hopefully I'm not scary at all.
No one's scary.
Maybe have like a sip of tea or something
like
that.
Just that kind of first, like, talk about yourself, introduce yourself. It's like, oh my goodness, what do I say?
I know what you mean. I'm not used to talking about myself either. I much prefer asking the questions, which is why I do the interviewing rather than be the guest.
On the other side.
Yeah, that's the secret to it all. So let's start off actually with a question that kind of brings us all together, that connects us. How long have you lived in this beautiful region for? And also, if you weren't born here, what brought you to this region?
Oh, I'm very fortunately, I am a bit of a nomad. So I was actually born in South Africa because the country my parents lived in at the time was under a dictatorship. And I couldn't be born in Malawi without being born stateless because, I don't know, rules, politics, as it was back in the 70s, was that, you know, that was how it went. So my mum lied about how pregnant she was, flew down to South Africa, had me there so that I could become a British citizen from birth. We then moved and lived in Ireland and then in England. And I sound very English because that was where I spent most of my schooling years. Yeah. And then I came to New Zealand nearly 20 years ago, met my wonderful partner 12 years ago, oh my goodness, and then we bought a house in the Wairarapa about 6 months before COVID hit.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, we were very grateful to move from a two-bedroom little apartment to an actual house where we had some space and we could move around and do our outdoor activities, because little did we know that was all we were going to see for a few months. But it was the best thing we ever did. Absolutely love the Wairarapa. Love the people. Love the place. Just feel blessed to be here.
I'm so glad I asked that question. We've had a few conversations, Bev, and I never knew your backstory. So I'm
very
really
confused.
Glad I asked. Thank you. That's really interesting. So tell us a little bit about Visual Industry and what you do.
It's just such a varied job, which I think is the reason I love it so much. So we do anything marketing. So we will do little jobs for small community groups that come in and they just need... We do a fair amount of work with, like, the men's shed. They wanted the notice board outside this cafe created and some stickers for that, decals for that. So we did that. And we do that, anything up to kind of fleet wraps. We are the Wairarapa contact for NZ Post. So all those beautiful blue vehicles that you see driving around are actually all white vans.
You're kidding.
No, they're all white vans.
They are white vans.
And we have to cover the entire thing in vinyl and branding.
How do you get all the little bubbles out? Because I used to really... I wasn't very good at kind of covering my exercise books with Duracell. I'd always have these little bubbles. How do you do it?
I would tell you, but I'd have to kill you. I'm afraid that's a trade secret. Like, we spend years as apprenticeships learning.
All those
learning.
Curves and bumps and...
Yeah, curves are the worst. Curves are not your friend. Bubbles, we can deal with, but okay. Curves are a problem.
Wow. What's your favourite thing to wrap?
Good question. It's really difficult. I think because we do so many things and because we go from the sublime to ridiculous, like you will have someone who comes in who just wants a phone number and a contact detail because they want people to be able to reach out and find their business. And then you have other people that come in with a real passion project and they want an entire Harley Davidson changed colour. Oh. And everything is different. So, and it sounds a bit ADHD, but my most exciting thing to wrap is the new thing. It's the new one that's come in. It's the next project.
Like the next challenge.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's what I love. That's what keeps it fresh.
Yeah, that's so exciting. So tell us a little bit about your why then. What gets you up and going in the morning?
Oh, people. I just love people and I love helping people solve their problems. So when someone comes to me and they say, my business needs more traffic to the website, it's like, cool, what can we do that's going to direct people to you? Do we need to think about social media marketing? Do we need to think about other kinds of online marketing? Do we need to bring your marketing more into the real world? And, you know, who is your target market and how do we reach them? That's such a great conversation to be had.
Yeah.
And then other people will come and say, literally, I have a bus and we want to put a tiger on the side of it. Can you help? And it's like, hell yeah.
Have you actually put a tiger on the side?
Yeah, that was okay. one of my first projects when I was in the UK, actually, for Marwell Zoological Park. I don't know if anyone's heard of that one.
No.
It's very big zoo for conservation. And they came and they wanted some adverts put on the side of the bus that said, who's looking at who? And the eyes of the animals were cut out so that the people were sitting inside the eyes and they looked
that's
like
so
the cat's
cool.
eye in the middle.
That's fun.
It was really fun. It was so cool as a young person in the industry to see your work literally huge scale drive down the road and be like, oh, I made that. Yeah, that was a really nice feeling.
You must have so much creativity, like just to come up with these things and these ideas and
I've
to
done
execute it.
A million different design roles in my career, and I think this one probably is the one that allows you to be the most creative and have the most fun. So again, sometimes your marketing campaign that you're doing for an organization is only 3 to 6 months long. So it's not a make or break. It doesn't matter if it doesn't completely hit the mark. So you can take risks, you can test the limits, and you can just have fun with it and do cool stuff. And that's what
and
we
I
do.
I know our listeners can't see you right now, but just hearing you talk, like your face lights up and you've got the biggest smile. It's clear that you're very passionate about what you're doing. You love what you do.
Very true. I do. I love it. I don't think I could do anything else.
Beautiful. And you've all described about the huge variety of work that you do, from like, you know, helping someone get more hits to their website through to putting tigers on buses, as you do. Do you have an ideal customer that you'd like to work with?
I don't think it's an ideal customer. I think it's more the energy that they bring as well. Mm. So there's different types of people. There's some people who are incredibly passionate, but also want to have a lot of control. I was telling my hairdresser the other day, again, people can't see me, but I have bright red hair and it's not as bright as it normally is because my hairdresser got it a bit wrong. They're using a new product and so she's still learning it all. And I said, look, I will tell you what I like and what I don't like. And I will be really clear about that. But otherwise you are the professional. You went to school, you learned how to do this. You know how to do your job. You do what you want. If you think my hair would look great with orange stripes, let's try
like
orange
a tiger.
Stripes. If you think that, you know, I would look amazing with a fringe, cut me a fringe, like suggest it. Let's play. Like, yeah, I think life's too short to, you know, play it too straight. Yeah. I like to, you know, mess around with things.
So you like people that, in terms of your ideal customer,
that trust me,
are open to trust the process,
yeah,
and the vision.
I, you know, nothing I do is ever going to make you look bad. And if you don't like it, communicate that to me and we can find an alternative. But I literally exist to make you look good, to, you know, enhance your brand, to have fun, to make the whole process as easy as possible.
And like your hairdresser, you're the expert. This is what you do. This is what you're good at.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's cool. If you were to have like a typical day, and I imagine it must be hard with so much variety in what you do, what would it be like? Do you have like a routine, a time that you get up every day and start work, or does it become kind of ebb and flow depending on what you've got going on?
Oh, I'm very much a night owl, so I need somebody else in my life who can help me stay on track in the mornings, because otherwise I would just stay in bed all day. And so my partner is the one who's in charge of the alarm. He gets us out of bed, and we get into the office anyway between sort of 8 and 8:30. We try to do a stand up a couple of times a week, so we're kind of having a look at the jobs that are coming through the shop. We know what we've got on, which can range anywhere between sort of 40 to 70 jobs at a time that are coming through the studio. So knowing where everything is at and what's moving and what needs a bit of assistance to keep it tracking is always valuable. And that's when we kind of at that point divide and conquer. So quite often he will go out and he will do a vehicle wrap. So that might be in the studio or at a on site with a customer. If they are a garage or an insurer, someone who's got a location where we can work, I will go out and I will do surveys for customers for new things that are coming up. I got caught the other day walking down Greytown High Street removing signs for one of our customers with just a power drill in my handbag. They were very impressed.
I don't know. I think a power drill is the one thing that everyone needs to own.
Oh, it's a fantastic accessory.
When I bought my first house, I had to buy a power drill.
Honestly, and when you pull it out of a floral Kath Kidson shopping bag, people just suddenly start taking you seriously on a whole different level.
I can imagine. Perfect. Well, I want to hear more about the work that you do, but before we do, tell us a little bit about the story behind Visual Industry.
Visual Industry was actually started by somebody else. So the lovely Jason Reed started Visual Industry about 16 years ago, I think, in his garage in Featherston. And he slowly built up the reputation and the work that the business was doing at some point, I think it was 6 years ago, he moved to what is the old Sargent's motorcycle shop in Carterton. And he was running it there. But him and his partner had a life plan to take their children overseas and get them to travel and experience different parts of the world and
that's
a different
amazing
education in different countries, just to sort of like broaden their horizons. So when that time came around, they looked for a buyer, and me and my partner had a chat and went, yeah, we think we could do this. We think we could be quite good at this. So
that's cool.
That's how we came to be. And so it's been 18 months, very steep learning curve. Neither of us have ever run our own business.
Oh, it's the biggest learning curve. It's like a journey of, I don't know, professional and personal development on steroids. It's the hardest thing in the world to have your own business.
Yeah, I had a lovely customer who was in the shop yesterday. They said, don't worry, after the first 3 years are difficult. After the first 5 years, you'll be a bit better. And in 20 years, it's a dream. And I was like, oh, just a few months to wait.
Oh, me too, then. I'm waiting for it to get easier, but it hasn't quite happened yet.
Not yet, no.
But we'll get there.
But I wouldn't swap it. Like, every time I stop and I think the alternative, you know, I came out of corporate, I was working government jobs in Wellington. I wouldn't go back. I really wouldn't.
I couldn't either. Like, for all the challenges that comes with having your own business and being your own boss, I wouldn't have it any other way. I can't imagine sitting behind a desk doing a 9-to-5 job now.
I get to bring my dog to work. I couldn't do that in government.
What's your dog called?
Well, I've got two. There's Eddie and Cleo. They both come to work. So Eddie's the boss, and he comes and greets everybody, sounding very ferocious quite often when he comes to the door, but he's just...
I'm trying to imagine what Eddie looks like. It's a small dog.
Eddie's kind of... He's supposed to be a Labrador Ridgeback Cross. Okay. We're all rescues. We're all mutts in my house. So they're both rescues. He's a lab Ridgeback Cross, but not food oriented. So my partner's like, probably not a lab then. And Cleo is a foxy terrier, but she has some mobility issues. So she doesn't move around so well. So she generally sits on a memory foam cushion in a jersey, looking like a princess.
Gorgeous. That sounds like a
really
good life.
It's my baby.
Really
good life. Absolutely.
We've got a little miniature schnauzer called Barclay, and he has the best life as well. He spends his whole time curled up on my beanbag. Not his, my beanbag, just snoozing all day, every day.
Oh, to be a dog, eh?
So easy. Well, I think it's about time he had a pause to have a bit of a song break and also enjoy our coffees and tea. So our first song is Where's My Mind by the Pixies. And I had to giggle when I heard the song title for this one, because as someone that experience there's some brain fog every now and then. There are times where I think, you know, where is my mind? So I felt the song was very aptly named. And for our regular listeners, you'll know that it's our guest that gets to pick our songs, which gives you a little bit of intel into our amazing businesses and their owners, but also opens up your world to a whole lot more music and songs. So let's pause for our song.
Stop.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song. It's an awesome song. So I'm joined today by Bev from Visual Industry, and I'm really keen to dive in a little bit more into the work that you do. So you've talked a little bit already about the amount of variety and the creativity that you get to bring to your job. What is your absolute favourite part of the work that you do? You get to pick one thing.
Finishing things.
Finishing things.
Finishing jobs and getting them
up. That's such a talent. Lots of people are great at starting, but not finishing.
No, my favourite bit is finishing. I think it's a bit of a hangover I've got, or a bit of a response to a lot of time spent in government where projects can just drag on and drag on and drag on. And I've got friends who are still working on the same things that they started over 5 years ago that were meant to be 18-month-long projects. Sorry, government, I'm giving away secrets here. I probably shouldn't.
And the briefing notes, they take months to do.
Oh, I know, it's crazy. But what we do is so vital. There's a really quick turnaround on a lot of our jobs. So you get to see in real time something that comes into the studio. You have a conversation with the client. You figure out what's needed. You send them a design. They say, yes, but make the logo bigger or change the blue to a darker color. And then it goes to print. And then it comes through the printer. And then we laminate it. And then we cut it out. And then we put it on a vehicle. Or we put it on a signboard on the side of their building. And it's just, you know, often within 2 weeks, the job comes in and goes out again. And so it's really tangible. And that's just a lovely sense of satisfaction going home at the end of the day going, yeah, I did that, you know. 4 2-meter long signs left my building today, and you know, that was me. That's
you must just walk around town thinking, I did that, I did that, I did that, oh, I did that one too.
It's funny because the handover that I got from Jason when he left was we spent a day driving around and meeting a couple of clients and things that he had, and he literally did that. We were driving around in the van, he's going, we did that, we did that, we did this one. Oh, that over there we did. Oh, that vehicle, it just went past. I was like, I missed it. He went, yeah, we did that. And I think it becomes that way. I mean, he's been doing it for a little bit longer than us. But it's really fun when you drive around and you see the things on the buildings and the things on cars and stuff that is yours. And, yeah, you know, you put that little taste out into the world. And, yeah, it's very fun. I love that.
And guessing, given your love of finishing things, which, as I said, is a talent. A lot of people are great at starting, not necessarily finishing. Does that mean that you love to-do lists? And sometimes you might add things to a to-do list that you've already done just to hear the satisfaction of ticking it off?
100%. 100%.
Not just me then.
No, never. Never just you yet. I definitely add things I've done. I also like to break down a single task into smaller tasks.
Ooh, that's good too.
So I have sub-lists to tick off. Yep.
Do you colour code them?
Sometimes.
Do you Excel spreadsheet them?
No, I'm not quite that level of nerdy. I did try to get into bullet journaling at one point, but it felt like, I know that you're supposed to sort of like personalise it for yourself, but it felt a little bit like there was this like language of symbols that I had to learn first. And inevitably, I have mentioned that I'm a bit ADHD. I will lose the journal after 6 weeks.
As well, and then,
yeah, it turns into an art project.
Yeah.
Don't ever look at my notes and expect to be able to make sense. I can't hand my notes to somebody else for a job because even I look at them sometimes and go, what on earth was that? Which dimension was that? So if you see me skulking around your building measuring things for the second time, you'll know it's because my notes I made were not awesome.
Maybe you were a doctor in a previous life.
Possibly. My mum would like that.
I always find that I start off the day with tidy handwriting. I've got a notebook here. I'm not going to show you how bad my writing is. And as the day goes on, my writing gets messier and messier and messier. So I try to do the important points at the start of the day when I can read my writing rather than at the end of the day.
Oh, there's an app for that. There's an app for everything these days.
There's an app for everything.
And my partner would be very disappointed in me if I didn't tell you to use an app. It's on your phone. You'll always have it with you. Prevent you losing that notebook.
But I quite like the tactile nature.
I love paper.
Yeah. We'll be on the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your biggest win then? Like, what's the thing you're most proud of?
Gosh, most proud of.
And it doesn't need to be work-related, I should add. It can be anything you like. If I was to build a statue in your honour, what is that statue for? And then being awesome with bright red hair.
This possibly sounds maybe a little arrogant or a little cocky, but I think just being a kind person. Like, I think the world tries its hardest to stamp all over creativity, and sometimes it feels like being different and standing out really isn't appreciated a whole lot. But I've been a kid who moved around a lot when I was young. I was bullied for different accents and for looking different and sounding different. And, you know, it would be very easy to become hard-hearted. Mm. It would be very easy to shut down and not want to engage. But honestly, I think as a person, I would lose so much by adopting that. And so, yeah, if it's going to be on my headstone, if it's going to be something that I'm remembered for, you know, I would like people to remember that I made them feel good and I made them feel included. It's kind of a passion of mine to be inclusive of everyone. It breaks my heart to think that there's someone on the edge or on the outside who's not, you know, welcomed into the fold. Because the world can be a lonely place. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's important.
That's been lovely. And it's certainly not arrogant or cocky. And what you described really resonated with me, and I'm sure it resonated with a lot of our listeners at home. So thank you for sharing that. That is a really powerful thing to be proud of.
Thanks. I'm trying to respond.
You don't need to respond. If we were to flip the question then, what's some of the biggest challenges that you have, whether it be at work, if that's easier, or outside of work?
I think something I'm kind of more and more aware of as I'm aging is the way women are treated differently. And I think as a whole, I've been incredibly lucky in my life to be taken on my merit. And I don't think anyone has been necessarily concerned with my sex or my gender. Having said that, I think I've had to work so much harder to get to the places that I wanted to be and work harder to be taken seriously. I had a senior project manager at one of my jobs when I said, look, I'm light on work, I need something else to do. He told me he would find me something to colour in. And I just don't think he would have said that.
Is he still standing?
To a male colleague.
How did he even respond to that?
Unfortunately, I smile and walk away, because if I don't, I might poke him in the eye. And that's not a great career step forward to be attacking members of your team. But yeah, I think, I guess middle age has crept up on me, not crept so much as jumped out of a cupboard on top of my shoulders. It came very suddenly. And being respected and being recognised for the knowledge I have, I think, has become increasingly difficult. Because I feel personally like I'm at a point in my career where I do actually know a thing or two. Mm. And that confidence is hard won. It's taken 20 years to get to a point where I can say, yeah, actually, I do know what I'm talking about. Mm. And I've had a couple of clients recently, bless their hearts, who came in, asked me for some advice and walked away and came back a few days later and went, I did some research. Turns out you were right. And it's like, gosh, who would have thought? You know, so, yeah, I'm an expert at what I do because I'm passionate, because I never finish learning, because I'm constantly wanting to be better than I was before. Mm. And I think that constant curiosity keeps you at the forefront of what you do. So my challenge has always been to be taken seriously as a woman, to represent women in a way that hopefully makes it easier for generations coming after us.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you know that I've been doing some work recently on my branding strategy. And part of that is also thinking about what sort of organisations I don't want to work with. Because particularly, you know, when you're in the early stages of setting up a business, you're just basically desperate to get work. And I think as you kind of progress through your business journey, you start to think more about, well, actually, who is my ideal client? Who do I want to work with? And who are the people I don't want to work with? And I started to realise that one of the type of people that I don't want to work with are the people that don't value the expertise that I bring, the people that kind of question your rates or question your credibility, or the sort of person where you feel like you have to always prove yourself and kind of work 10 times harder than everyone else, whether that be because you're female or middle-aged or whatever reason. I've decided there are the people I don't want to work with. So what you're describing really resonates with me.
Yeah, I've done some work with a couple of my friends are coaches, and I had a conversation with one of them once, and she said something like, you know, being an employee is one of the hardest ways to be recognised for your skill set. And she said, you know, you will get a contractor who will walk in and say, I've been here 3 days, I need to talk to the CEO, this stuff needs to change, this is what's wrong with your organisation, I can see it, and this is how to fix it. You could be doing that for 2 years, an employee, going, hey, guys, I see area for improvement. I see area for improvement. And you can just be brushed aside. So, you know, it's starting your own business, running your own business gives you a chance to maybe be that pickier and go, yeah, I'm going to work with people who respect me and who we can make awesome together, rather than sit there going, hey, I think I can see improvement and ways we can be better. Not that I'm suggesting people shouldn't go and become employees. That's not a suggestion at all, but once you've got that confidence and once you feel you can make a difference, position yourself so that you can.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I know an amazing portrait photographer, actually. She's the one that did some of my branding photos, And she said to me that about a year ago, she decided that she would recognise herself for all the skill that she has. So now when she introduces herself, she says, "Hi, I'm," and she gives her name, she says, "and I'm a photographer, and I'm really good at what I do." And she actually says it in her opening line. And she said it's taken her years to actually do that, but she realises that she is a good photographer and there's no reason why she should shy away from sharing that knowledge with other people.
100%, yeah.
So it's something that takes time.
It does, and you need to believe it too. So hearing yourself say that on a regular basis, yes, is probably great psychology.
I think so too. I think that actually is a really good segue now into our next song, which is called Beautiful Freak by The Eels. Good choice, Bev. I like the song.
Such a beautiful freak. I wish there were more just like you. You're not like all of the others, and that is why I love you. Beautiful freak, beautiful freak. That is why I love you.
Welcome back. So I'm a little bit curious. I want to talk more about all the amazing different things that you wrap, because I mean, you've talked about the tiger on the bus, you've talked about cars and how those New Zealand Post vans are actually white and not navy. What would be something really unusual that you've wrapped before?
Yeah, so we've touched on some things. I guess it becomes difficult to know what's unusual when you do this all the time, because people bring you things and go, "Wrap this," and you go, "Cool, okay." I think it's not unusual, but one of my favourite jobs was I was involved with the rebrand of Stuff when it became Stuff and Dominion Post rather than the Evening Standard or whatever it used to be called. So my job was all of the individual offices up and down the country had to be changed. They had signage that needed to be changed, and they needed to have, depending on the size of the office, they had different elements to them. So the one in Wellington had three or four really large photographic walls. So we were printing like a wallpaper effect with photos of the community and events and people on them, which was super fun.
So do you have to have like a really big printer?
Yes, absolutely.
How does it?
So combination,
my mind boggles. Tell me.
Of big printer and secret hidden joins where you can put them. And you kind of you paste together these sort of huge murals. They had a brand internally in the offices. There's a brand that kind of revolved around geometric triangles that faded in rainbow colours. And it was just like putting this down the side of meeting rooms in a very sort of sterile corporate space. Was just so much fun. I felt like I was bringing the colour, which is what I
do. You were bringing joy.
But then the Auckland offices, they had a very massive skyscraper. I think it's still there. Skyscraper building, which had to have a 12-metre long illuminated LED sign that was black during the day, and then at night when it lit up, it went white. So there's special colour-changing media and colour-changing plastics that you had to use, and I had to work with a team of engineers who were building the rails to support it, because obviously at that size, it's huge.
That's so cool.
It was sort of the biggest job I've been involved in, and it was super fun. There is also a building, if anyone's in Wellington, this is my favourite, up at the top of Cuba Street, above the cafe that's called the Preservatorium. It's a grey building, and it has these big grey swirly patterns all over it.
I know the one.
Those are my swirls.
Okay. Every time I look at that building now, I'm going to think of you.
Yeah, I did a web development course, and it was sort of like a month into this course, and I was standing in the classroom, staring out the window, kind of almost in tears, going, I don't know why I signed up to do this. I am so bad at this. I hate it. And I looked out the window, and I saw my building sticking out the top of all the other shops at the top of Cuba Street. And I was like, gee, I did that. I can do hard things. It was a bit of a moment for me.
Yeah.
I was like, I can actually do this stuff. So yeah, I love that building, because every time I feel like I'm doubting myself, I just go and look at that building and go, yeah, I didn't think I could do that, but I did it. So yeah, it's awesome.
I have to say, more and more I'm telling myself, I can do hard things. It just gives you that boost.
Absolutely.
And then having the evidence of you doing hard things, I mean, in a building for you.
Which is why having my work in the world is so nice, because you do get those reminders.
Yeah.
If you ever have a bit of self-doubt, it's like, oh, there goes that van. We did a whole fleet of those. and it's just a reminder that, yeah, we're good at this.
That kind of light-changing paint thing, that sounds cool. It reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever been to the museum in Christchurch. I think it's in Christchurch. But there's this display of gemstones, and they change colour depending on the type
Ooh.
Of light. That sort of thing, I find it so magical and mystical.
Absolutely.
I know there's a science behind it, though. I come from a science background, so I get it, but it's still just
moments of magic, though.
Magic!
And I think we need to hold on to those.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, it's great to understand the science, but you know what? I can take eggs and I can take flour, two very dull ingredients, and I can make a cake, you know? So it's science, but it's also the cake is the magic, you know? It's the icing on the top that just makes life a great thing to share with others.
Especially if it's cream cheese icing.
Absolutely.
And so we're talking about buildings, and it would be wrong of me not to mention a very important, significant building here in town that I know you had quite a significant role in. I understand you and your partner did the toilet block, the upgrade there.
We did, yes.
Can you tell us all about it, because it's looking beautiful.
Like, it's still a work in progress, believe it or not. So the council approached us. There was a lot of work done by a community group. I think they're called the Carterton Beautification Society or group. They had done a lot of hard work. They had worked with another designer to come up with sort of the concept, the base sort of brief, if you like, of what they were looking for. And then they took it to the council, and the council did lots of their hard work and figured out, you know, how it was going to work and who was going to pay and all that important stuff to make these projects happen. And then they approached us and went, cool, this is the brief. This is the concept that we've got. Can you take this and develop it? And this is what we're sort of wanting. And please draw an aeroplane to go on the side. And I was like, I don't think I've ever drawn an aeroplane before. So, yeah, that was figuring it all out and putting it together. And then, yeah, we popped it up on the walls. And I make that bit sound really easy because I stayed in the office while all my other team went and put it on the wall and did all the hard labour. But we are still working with the council for the inside. So watch this space.
Can you give us a sneak peek of what's going inside?
I think at the moment, it's the concepts that we've put forward are local photos, sort of large scale, yeah, with the plan that they will kind of wrap around a couple of walls. We got lots of compliments when we were on site putting things up, and there may have been a little bit of miscommunication or misunderstanding when we said that there was a photographic theme for the inside, less of the illustrative and more of the, this is the awesome region we live in. And somebody went and put it on Facebook that it was going to be all historic photos. That's not the case. My partner is a very talented photographer, so he has gone out and he has taken some photos for the inside. And we've also got a couple of other local photographers who we've worked with sourcing from some of our other local businesses. They've helped us, put us in contact with some people who've taken beautiful, beautiful photos of this region. And so hopefully, fingers crossed, folks, that the council are happy with what we've put forward, and then we can start renoing the insides.
Exciting. And our listeners heard it here first.
Watch this space.
Exciting. And in case our listeners haven't seen the amazing toilets, do you want to briefly describe how the outside looks?
So the brief was that we were starting with recognising all of the cool things within the region that we do through sort of summer. And, you know, we've got the Daffodil Festival, and we've got the awesome lavender farm at the other side of town. We've got the balloon festival that happened, also the aeroplane, which is a nod to one of the first flights that was taken. So out near Gladstone, there's a replica model.
Yes.
So if anyone wants an adventure with the kids, go find the aeroplane, which is, I was used very heavily used as my inspiration for my drawing. And then leaning in on the other end of the toilets to the night sky reserve status, and, you know, emphasising the getting out with your family, having a look through some telescopes and seeing what's up there in our sky, with the awesome Cardison Clock Tower on the other end.
It's cool. I love that toilet, which sounds like a weird thing to say.
I'll give you a little Easter egg, actually. On the back of the toilets, there is a little dog on the back of the toilets, and I added her in at the last minute. That is my little princess who sits in her cushion. And if you spot the dog, that's Cleo. She's on there forever.
Okay. That's where I'm going to be going after this. Off to hunt for Cleo. That's so cool. So before we start to wrap up the interview, I want to check in with you, Bev. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners that you might not have covered already?
I don't think so. I think I'm just quite flattered and quite chuffed to be here and actually have this chat. It's been really enjoyable.
I feel like we're the lucky ones. We've learned so much from you, like a lot of wisdom and insight, and I know a lot of what you've described will really resonate with the listeners at home as well. So thank you for being so honest and open with everything you shared.
My pleasure. It's been awesome to be here.
Very cool. So if our listeners at home or at work and are thinking, you know, I need to improve the profile of my business, I need some marketing help or anything like that, or I've got something really random that I really want Bev to rep for me because she is the person to go to, what's the best way for them to contact you?
The website, really. Dive on our website, find our email address and send through some photos of your project. That's always a great place to start, because from those photos we can go, oh, you know what, you want us to, and this is a real job that happened, you want us to wrap your cat flap. You can bring us your cat flap or we can make it match the colour of your door. And so we know that from the photo, or we can look at a photo and go, okay, you have a barber's shop, you need some new signage. We can't, you know, pop the barber shop into our shop, so we'll come and we'll do a survey, we'll have a check out the site and see what we need to do to move forward. So the first point of call for us is a great option, as always, just to send us an email with some of your ideas. Alternatively, the shop is at the other end of Cardison High Street, just by North End Dairy, who, for the record, sell the best hot chips I think in the region.
Are they chunky or
just normal fries? Oh. Not fries, but like chip sized.
Yeah.
But they have a whole range of different salts, so they can make them taste spicy or sweet or salty.
I did not know that.
Their chips are amazing.
I'm a bit of a chip connoisseur, so good to know.
Their chips are so good. So you can pop in there, and you know, if it is a cat flap, bring it in. Let us have a look, and we can take it from there.
And so we'll definitely share your website details on our program page, but do you want to share it for the listeners at home in case they don't get a chance to go to your program?
It's not very complicated, so grab your pens. It is.
Grabbing it now.
www.vil.nz.
Good one.
Simple and straight to the point.
I actually remember that one.
That's the plan. That's a good URL. It's rememberable.
That's a good URL. Perfect. So a big thank you, Bev, for joining us today. It's been, as I said, a real delight, a pleasure, and really enjoyed listening to you. Like, fantastic answers, so interesting. For our listeners at home or at work, if you're sitting at home and you're wondering what is go-karting all about and you want to be in on the action, then please check out the March episode where I talk a little bit more about who go-karting is and what we do. And there's some amazing things on the way, including some more exposure and promotions for our members. And of course, we'd love for you to join us and then hopefully be a guest on our show. You too can be like Bev, sitting here chatting with me. Now, if you become a member of go-karting, it also gives you access to the full range of Business Wire Rapid benefits, along with the connection and support of our vibrant local business network right here in town, which does include some networking and social events, like the event that we had a couple of weeks ago, where we launched our new brand and our new logo. And of course, as I said, by becoming a member, you get to come along to Business Connect. Our next one is on, I think it's June 12th at Aunt Ginger's. But of course, you can be on this radio program. What more could you want? So that's all for me. It's Josie Essen from Spring Coaching. And a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And of course, to Bev for joining me this month. Ka kite anō.